Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today, it's different today, is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you this afternoon?
I'm just fantastic, and I want to thank you for sitting in on Dave Allen's chair today. And
it's always fun, Melody. Anytime I can help, all you have to do is ask. You know that.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And we have Wendy Wilson for the first segment of the program today, and that's always such a pleasure. And she always brings such great information. So I'm going to get started right away with the market report. And gold had a nice reversal. It was 1198 early morning trade. We ended up with a high of 12. We didn't end up, but we did hit a high of 1217. It took back $5, and the New York spot price after market is 1212, almost 1213. So a nice day in gold, up 970. Silver today saw something very similar. We had 1429 as a high. We didn't settle back as much. It was up over 1%, 15 cents to the upside, $14.24. Platinum was down 3 at 839, and palladium, big day for palladium, 1.5%, up $16 at 1128. The USDX today was down 0.23 at 96.89. Crude oil came off its high. I saw it earlier today. It was up over a buck, and right now we're at 56.25, up 0.56. And the stock markets today was all over the page, triple digits to the negative. They tried to bring it. The last half hour of trade, I bet the Dow was down 30 points. And then it just lost its rhythm, and the Dow was down 205 points, 25,080. Again, it was dragged down by more of the Apple woes. The NASDAQ was down 64 points at 7,136, and the S&P was down 20, 2,701. 10-year yield, 3.12%. Euro was stronger, and they hit Bitcoin was down almost 14% today. A huge drop. It had to go somewhere. It wasn't doing anything. It was trading, you know, at 6,300 for I don't know how many months. So it had to do something. And I did hear earlier in the news that the Lagarde from the IMF actually had suggested to the central banks to do some sort of some kind of a study to see about going with cryptocurrencies. So kind of interesting, and which I thought you'd see these cryptocurrencies go crazy, except that the government is now planning to get involved, so therefore, you know, it loses all the luster. But gold never loses its luster. So make sure you give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And someone else who doesn't lose their luster is Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Pastor Butch.
Hello. How are you doing today, Wendy?
Oh, I'm doing great. I thought we'd talk about this topic called off-label drug use. I know you've guys heard about it. So the frequency of using a lot of prescription medications for treatments they're not intended or approved for is on the rise. And the FDA is aware of off-label use of prescriptions and even over-the-counter drugs that have a different use in mind. And this is all a growing practice. So it's currently considered a legal practice, and 1 in 5 outpatient prescriptions involves off-label use. And in some instances, off-label use is approved by the FDA after a study trial would show the use of that medication is warranted for a specific treatment. But now, how safe is all this off-label practice going on? Are physicians really informed because they're embracing this practice? Should this be an area of concern for patients and even physicians and researchers? Is the off-label research properly conducted, or is it faked? We're going to check this out, and we're going to be more aware of off-label drug use and what it offers and the health risks so we can be better informed. Let me read you this quote first off from Dr. Caleb Alexander. He's with the Medical Ethics Advocate and Professor of Medicine, University of Chicago Medical Center. He says, many people may be surprised to know that the FDA regulates drug approval, not drug prescribing. Doctors are free to prescribe a drug for any reason they think it is medically appropriate. End of quote. Here is a quote from WebMD. They say, doctors admit that although off-label use has its place in medical practice, however, it also raises the risk of lawsuits if there's serious side effects. End of quote. Well, let's look at, here's a question I had in my head is, you know, are patients aware they're getting prescribed drugs for off-label use? Well, regardless of the legalities of physicians being within their bounds to use drugs for off-label use, patients, according to WebMD, are not aware. They are very much unaware they're using an off-label drug for their treatment. And why would that be? Why is there uninformed consent? Well, physicians are ethically and legally not required to tell their patients this, which doesn't make sense to me. But an example would be the off-label use if they prescribed you a drug like Nadolol, which was they were using it to treat migraines, but the drug was actually approved as a beta blocker medication for cardio. So the migraine treatment was not approved by the FDA. And some physicians are really very much ill-informed regarding a drug's approval status. According to this report in Pharmacoepidemiology and Drug Safety, a significant number of doctors assume a medicine is FDA approved for specific use when it is not. And most people are shocked to learn that scientifically trained doctors are making such deadly assumptions. Sadly, this is happening even when the drugs have the FDA black box warning on the outside. Here is another quote from Dr. Caleb Alexander. He says, this is not a trivial issue. Our findings suggest that some off-label prescribing may be driven by mistaken beliefs about FDA approval and the level of evidence that supports the off-label drug use. So off-label use poses a greatest harm of side effects and increases the patient's risk of experiencing medication errors and dangerous outcomes, end of quote. So let me ask you, Pastor Butch, do you have any idea how many categories of illnesses they are prescribing off-label use for? You want to take a guess?
Oh, I have no idea. Hundreds? I have no idea.
Well, actually, it's quite common problems that people are seeking help from their doctors for. So basically, the patients are being experimented on with these drugs for off-label uses. So the health conditions that doctors will most often use off-label drugs for are for cancer treatment, neurological problems, cardiovascular problems, depression, insomnia, pain, osteoarthritis, attention deficit and hyperactivity problems for kids, obesity, dementia, and psychiatric and pediatric conditions. So,
that covers the whole gamut, doesn't it?
It does cover quite a bit of common things that we're seeing today. And the Archives of Internal Medicine says this: some off-label therapies can be beneficial or even life-saving for some patients. However, in most cases, there is little to no scientific evidence to prove or support its use. Off-label drug use has been identified as problematic in part because of inadequate data on the drug safety and effectiveness. So basically what I'm thinking here when I'm reading this stuff is that doctors on a whim or they have a gut feeling and they're just going to, you know, combine this drug therapy and see how it goes. And you talk about patients being uninformed about that is, I think, criminal. I don't know what you think about that, but I think that's criminal.
Isn't that kind of like using patients as guinea pigs?
That's what I'm saying. Now, let me give you an example. In 1997, an article in the Medical Journal was informing physicians that two drugs used together is going to produce the significant and dramatic weight loss for obese patients. So they jumped all on that. It was an off-label use. The drug was known as Fen-Phen. That off-label use on this drug offered a serious side effect of deadly heart valve damage. Expensive lawsuits resulted, and finally it provoked the FDA to ban its use after all that damage was done. So I think that's recklessness. I don't think they were doing their due diligence at all.
I agree.
Well, there's also a lot of conflicts of interest because in August 2012, the Public Library of Science looked into this conflict of interest with regard to off-label drug use that it was creating, because there were allegations that researchers and doctors were being paid directly by drug companies to find off-label drug use and develop a marketing program for these drug treatments, and it didn't meet the research criteria. So their investigation looked into improper disclosures, inadequate deficiencies in the research, and also a lack of truth publishing the journal articles. Although physicians may be within their legal bounds to utilize off-label drug treatments, it's another matter entirely for drug manufacturers to promote their off-label drug use. So if it's not approved by the FDA, the drug manufacturers are prohibited from suggesting any such practice within the United States. It's also required for authors of these journal articles to disclose any conflict of interest with regards to the research. So their investigation found that only 1 in 7 authors did so. And out of 26 whistleblower complaints, 91 physicians and researchers were guilty of conflict of interest. And of these 91 professionals, 39 of them had authored over 400 articles in publications on drugs for off-label use. And out of the 400 articles, only 62 of them had adequate disclosures. 148 of them had no disclosures at all, and 16 included misleading denial statements of any conflict of interest. So these journal articles on the drug research is also required to list the drug manufacturer of the medications being studied, and 40% of these articles didn't even mention the drug maker. So we've got a lot of problems with the off-label drug use. People are being put at risk. There's a lot of failure going on here. And there's this big battle for off-label drug use to extend the use of medication so the drug companies can make more money. And by the way, it's out of pocket for patients. Their insurance isn't going to cover off-label drug use. So be aware of that.
Figures.
Well, and, you know, it's physicians really should recognize this is an enormous problem. And Dr. Eloquate at McGill University says they need to be cautious in prescribing drugs for off-label uses, and that's not what he's seeing. So this is a problem. A Canadian study actually did a journal article in the American Medical Association, and regarding the off-label drug use, strongly increases, they said, the likelihood of adverse drug reactions. And what they cited in the report was that when doctors were using off-label drug therapies, it lacked strong scientific support that would also that would produce more adverse effects on the patients. And they also found that on average, patients were on 8 or more prescription medications, and they were 5 times more likely to have a strong reaction compared to patients using just 1 or 2 meds. So they're mixing. It's a drug cocktail. It's a cauldron of off-label use. I'm amazed. You know, we look at science and we're supposed to say how sophisticated and how wonderful and smart it is. But, you know, what do you call this?
Well, would you assume that doctors think they're doing the right thing, or is this just a money-making scheme?
Well, the problem is I think, you know, they may be at their wit's end on a treatment and they'll try anything. That
right.
kind of thing, where maybe the patient hadn't responded, or they read something in a journal article and they want to see if it works, you know?
Wow.
So, I know. So really, most of our health problems are basically an imbalance, and unfortunately, when you take a bunch of prescription drugs, you're masking your symptoms, but you're compounding an imbalance. And when you use herbs, medicinal herbs, that God's put here, they actually offer nutrition to reestablish balance and therefore resolve your problem. And we've gotten so far away from that. Like the other day, I was talking to somebody that had gone through all these treatments for sleep apnea, been through a sleep clinic. Anyway, I just said, do you know why you have sleep apnea? And I said, it's already been scientifically proven your thyroid is in an imbalanced mode, and all you have to do is rebalance it with nutrition, but that doesn't make medicine any money. See?
That's
so they're going to put you, through this gamut, put you on a sleep PAP machine and all this stuff. I said, if you use, typically what we like to use is black walnut, Siberian ginseng, and mullein to soothe the thyroid gland, provide it the nutrition so it can manufacture the hormones, which the brain uses for sleep and breathing during your sleep. See?
Can you send me some of that, please, Wendy?
Yes,
I've been telling my doctor for years that there's something going on with my thyroid. And he just, your tests show perfect and blah, blah, blah. Oh, all right, fine, you know. But about 20 years ago, I was put on a very mild dose of thyroid for a month. And I can't tell you the difference. I felt great. And I knew ever since then that there was something wrong with my thyroid. But
okay, so did they put you on the Synthroid or did they put you on the Armour product? Do you remember?
It was 20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I'm 60. I don't remember.
Well, the Synthroid one is a synthetic version of what they're giving you there for balance and hormones. And the Armour is the organic one. Well, at least it's from an organic source, they say. It's from animals, but it's not a synthetic. But basically, your thyroid gland has to have natural iodine. And you find it in, seaweed and ocean sun-dried salt, but the highest quantities in black walnut. So most people are so depleted in iodine that they have to go with the black walnut.
Wow.
And so we combine it with the mullein to soothe the gland because it's so stressed, and then we also use the ginseng to give it some stamina, some endurance, and you just give it a little time. But most people find that when they use those three herbs in a combo like that, it's almost immediate if they have loud snoring. It goes away because their hormones are now getting to your neurotransmitter area, and it's helping regulate your breathing while you sleep.
Wendy, you made 2 sales. I want some, too.
Okay.
Now, I'm not claiming that I'm snoring loudly.
Oh, she does. I can hear her down here.
No.
Well, it's just an amazing thing. You know, God's herbs are good, and he tells us from Genesis to Revelation, they're here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and we know God can't lie. It's just that we have to trust it. And
Wendy, I'm not kidding. I want a bottle. I want a bottle.
Oh, yeah. Well, I made a post-it note. I'll send some out tomorrow to both of you, and you
all
just
right.
Let me know how you do on it.
Thank you.
Definitely, if anybody wants to give us a call at Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. We also have 15% off through Sunday with our in-stock program. So see you next time.
All right. Appreciate it, Wendy. Thank you very much. And we'll be returning here in just a few short minutes. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. It is Wednesday, and Pastor Butch Paul is here. We'll be right back.
There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I did that in one breath. 1-800-375-4188. Enough, there isn't anything wrong with my lungs. And
well, they get lots of exercise.
I just want to tell the listener, I have to cough afterwards. I just want to tell the listeners that I'm here for this segment, and then Butch is going to do the final segment all by himself. I have a meeting to go to this evening, so I am going to cut out a little bit, but Carla's still answering the phone, so we'll be taking orders until 6 o'clock, the normal time, and everything will be back to normal, whatever normal may be in this world that we live in today, but everything will be back to normal for the program, and you'll be here tomorrow as it is Thursday.
Yes.
And there's just a couple of things I wanted to touch on.
First off, I want to tell you, I'm going to be scared when you're not with me.
You're going to be scared?
Scared, yes.
Scared?
Scared.
It's better to be scared without me than with me.
Okay, let's get serious now.
Well, I mentioned that, and I'm just going to touch, there's two things I wanted to touch on, a couple of things. The International Monetary Fund, I mentioned this going into the program, Christine Lagarde said that the central banks around the world should consider issuing digital currency. She was speaking in Singapore, and she says it would make transactions safer. I beg to differ, but who am I? She's head of the IMF. No cash payments have increased over the years, raising challenges for governments and central banks. No, non-cash payments have increased over the years, raising challenges. Regulators have voiced concerns with digital currencies and called for greater oversight. She says that she thinks we should consider the possibility, and there may be a role for the state to supply money to the digital economy. The advantage is clear. Your payment would be immediate, safe, cheap, potentially semi-anonymous. And the central banks would retain a sure footing in the payments. I mean, we've been throwing this around for a long time, how banks would be going after the, in fact, I personally believe, and I've always believed this, that the cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin was created by government. It is it is already a government program, and they don't want you infringing on their currencies, and they want control. And
Well, of course, you can see how this would lead to more enslavement,
sure.
Melody. I mean, well, it means cash will be done away with eventually to do with cash, period. You and I can no longer do private transactions. That's what they want exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, it's interesting to see her at a meeting discussing cryptos and so forth. And it was also interesting to see Bitcoin get hammered today because government interference. They want control over you. And something else, two men were hanged in Iran for hoarding gold coins. So don't you hoard coins out there. It was signaling zero tolerance for economic crimes. Iran hanged two financial traders who were convicted of stockpiling gold coins and profiteering during a currency crisis. Vahid Mazlouman, dubbed the Sultan of Coins. I'm the diva. He's the sultan. But and an accomplice were hanged in the pre-dawn hours just 2 months after their trial in front of a newly established court focused on financial cases. And many Iranians traded cash and other belongings for dollars and gold. And, of course, this is all because of, you know, all their terrible economic conditions in Iran, and in hopes that the sanctions that we continue to place on them will make it even tougher for them. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
Yes. And
well,
something else.
Roosevelt didn't hang anybody, but he threatened to put him in jail for 10 years, $10,000 fine, but he wanted the gold.
It was $10,000 fine, but
yeah,
I think
or 10 years in jail, or both.
Well, and I'll tell you, after they confiscated gold, if you were caught with it, it was like contraband. I mean, it was a serious offense. And I've talked to dealers, well, not plural, but I did talk to a gentleman who traded coins during that period, and he says it was very difficult. Now they could trade numismatic coins. In fact, I have a book here from, you know, during that time where gold couldn't be owned, just numismatics, and this was a book on numismatics for that period. And it's kind of interesting to see pricing and everything. But he says it was strict, and nobody really cheated, he says, because nobody wanted to go to jail or pay these horrendous fines. So it was strict. Something else today, mortgage apps. We're talking about the homeowners, how often we've seen pressure on the housing market with the interest in, as the rates are rising, mortgage applications volume fell 3.2% last week compared with the previous week. According to the Mortgage Bankers Association seasonally adjusted index, the volume was 22% lower compared with the same week just 1 year ago. So, again, this is just another sign where we see mortgage applications that are declining and, you know, in an economy that has been the greatest, you know, since the beginning of time that we're told. But inflation, U.S. consumer prices increased the most in 9 months in October, and of course amid the gains in the cost of gasoline and rents. And this points to steadily rising inflation. So there's no reason why the Fed wouldn't would not raise their interest rates again next month. The Labor Department said this morning that its consumer price index rose 0.3% last month, edging up 0.1% in September. And, you know, we don't hear much anymore about John Williams. I mean, he just kind of got a little quiet there for a while. You know, he was being quoted everywhere. We used to quote him a lot on the program. And so we decided to look him up again. And he's talking about inflation rate based on a 1980, the way they calculated it then. We're looking at 10% inflation, not the little 2%. Not was just since 1980, and he says the real unemployment level is actually over 21%, and that's pretty much been standard as we've been going through this. And
well, you know, I want to show you this though very quickly. You may not know this, but America had a first this past year. we had 878,000 new millionaires added in the last 12 months. Good. Because of booming economy and Trump and the jump start, and it jump started by the 2017 GOP tax cut. So we got almost 900,000 new millionaires. I know you're one of them, but I didn't quite make this time.
You didn't make it this time?
I didn't make this time.
Oh, you got on the billionaires list.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I did. So, I mean, you know, you think about that, and we need to realize that being a millionaire today is not nearly as hard as it was 50 years ago. I mean, we're not going to make it probably, but if you do, you count in inflation over the last 50 years, it makes it a bit easier, doesn't it?
Well, you know, what's really sad is that you need $1 million. I mean, this is what these financial planners tell everybody. You need $1 million to retire.
Yes.
And, I mean, and now they actually bumped it to $1.5 million.
Well, you remember the old show, what was it, what they give out? The guy was sending out a check. A gentleman delivered a check to somebody, a random person, give him $1 million check. You remember that show?
I do.
What's the name of it? The next millionaire or something like that. You remember that? Back in the 50s, $1 million really was still a lot of money. But back then, it was really a lot of money. About 20 times what it is now.
Yes.
Now, think about that a minute. So, yeah. that inflation has eaten up $19 million of $20 million since 1950s. So, that's a lot of inflation.
You know, it was interesting. We talked about yesterday New York and about Amazon building its offices in New York and in Virginia. And this morning I saw an interview with Mayor Blasio out in New York City. And he was such a liar. I mean, they would ask him questions about, you know, you're talking a lot of money for people, and that supposedly the wages were going to be the average wage is $150,000 a year. And in the second breath, Blasio was talking about, you know, Queens, you know, where you have HUD houses and something around the corner, that these people would finally be able to get a decent job and high wages. And they asked him, it's like, how do those people qualify for $150,000 income?
Good point.
You know, he just went, well, you know, there'll be jobs, the training, and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And he just, I think the people of New York kind of don't like being, particularly by a company that is so wealthy, they shouldn't get any subsidies. And
I agree.
And Blasey was trying to say, well, you know, New York is going to get more than what he did for his tax cuts and everything like that. And they said, well, what are they? And he couldn't answer them. Oh, well, you know, they questioned him about the subway, the transit. How is that going to work to, you know, with all these extra people coming in there? Oh, well, you know, we're working on this. So people are not only going to get taxed for Amazon subsidies, but if they add trains, if they upgrade the subways and everything, guess who's going to get to pay for that?
Absolutely. I mean, always, it's always down to you and I, so to speak. It's a taxpayer. Nothing government does is not paid for by us. We, the people, pay for everything they do. I don't care what it is, Melody. I don't care if they buy a paperclip or build a $10 trillion bridge. We pay for it.
Yes.
We do.
Yep. So, you know, it was kind of interesting to see the tough questions, but you could just see he didn't answer any of the questions that was given him when they were coming down. So, you know, I'm glad Amazon's going to New York and not Maryland anyway.
Oh, yeah.
One more thing I want to touch on, the new NAFTA, President Trump's trade deal with Canada and Mexico.
Oh, yes.
Can't pass Congress in its current state. A Democrat from New Jersey said this morning, Rep. Bill Pascrell, he says the agreement needs changes not only in the legislation but more enforcement, and if House Democrats are going to pass the deal. He added, I continue to review the USMCA and consult with stakeholders, and many of his colleagues have called for higher standards in a revised NAFTA or USMCA. So
And the peso and the loonie tumbled because of that, too, according to the article.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Mexico and Canada are happy with it. But their economy the peso and loonie wouldn't crumble, it wouldn't tumble, it would gain strength. But obviously, this is going to hurt them, too. But you have to know now that, believe me, Trump had it rough before, perhaps. He's going to have it much, much more rough now. Much rougher. And I have to believe part of that is he'll have an excuse not getting anything done. And you probably know, too, that they're talking about a recount in Georgia for governor. You probably heard that, too, didn't you?
Yes.
I mean, this is ridiculous. But you go ahead. I'll get started off, and I won't shut up. You go ahead.
Well, no. I was just about finishing up on that. So
yes.
So, you know, again, the NAFTA, you know, so I don't know what happens. Does it convert back to the old agreement if this new one doesn't get done? Or are they just gonna fix the new one to something that, you know, the Democrats would accept? But I can't imagine whatever the Democrats would accept that Trump would go along with. So
I think we're gonna see a very interesting 2 years if we make it 2 years with everything collapsing around us. I just think it's going to be a very interesting 2 years with Pelosi and Waters and all of them come back on board with their idiotic stupidity. It's going to be a huge, huge mud hole for the next couple of years to wade through.
I think so.
Talk about a bog. My goodness.
Yeah.
But I got to ask you this. It says global stocks and U.S. futures slide as oil rebound fizzles and a pound tumbles. Is a pound in trouble in Britain?
Well, she got the Brexit through. I did read up on all the final details and so forth on the Brexit, but you know, I saw her giving a lengthy press conference or speech, and so they did agree on the Brexit, in which she was having difficulties getting all the final pieces in. So that probably put some pressure on their currency. So that's what I would relate that to.
All right. I'm asking, I'm getting you some financial questions before I get on by myself a little bit.
Oh, no.
GE is now trading like junk. And PG&E plummets after drawing down on billions on its revolvers. I mean, PG&E, of course, in Edison crash, that's the California Utilities Company, because of the fires out there, and they may get blamed for it. So they're crashing. And GE is now considered, I guess you can say, junk bonds. Interesting, is it not?
It truly is. I mean, they cut their dividends down to, what, a penny or something like that just a month or so ago,
yes.
If that long. And so here's a company that's been in business for over 100 years. And I do believe it has, you know, its military side of the business is, you know, strong, particularly when we're, you know, building the military and so forth. But I don't know. It's another sign of the times. These old companies, and you take a company like this. What's it if it decided to go belly up? What do you think would be the impact?
Oh, I don't. You imagine? GE one time was almost like General Motors. I mean, it just was there.
Yep.
You know, it would be unheard of, unthinkable that they could ever go belly up. And one more quick thing here. Mall owners are handing the keys over to their lenders even before they default on the loan. They're just giving them keys. Say, here, we don't want any longer. We're not defaulted yet, but you get it. Here it is. You do what you want to with it. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
I mean, they know they're going to lose it. They're just giving it up.
Hey, guess what time it is?
Time for you to leave.
It's time for me to leave. It's time for you to go solo. And I want to make sure the listeners stay. Don't you go away, listeners. Butch will be right back. Please stay tuned.
I will be.
All right.
Oh, won't you tell me again
tonight? Each and every heart is... Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All righty, folks, I am back. Melody skipped out on us, but listen, I'm not Melody's Hillstrom, and I can't do what she does, and I know that, and I hope you don't mind. I know who I am. I'm just a hillbilly preacher, and certainly not the brightest bulb in the house, but I do my best to tell the truth and be straightforward and honest as I can be. I will say this, and I'll move on to some other news here. If you are the kind of person that people can't take your word, just your word, on something that you tell them and act upon it, then you're losing something. You're losing integrity. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm always right or anybody's always right. But as far as I know, I'm telling you the truth. And that's one thing that I think every man and woman out there needs to understand, that integrity, you cannot buy it. You earn it. If you were wealthy, maybe you could buy loyalty because people want the money. Maybe you could instill fear in people because you have the power to do it. But integrity and honesty and respect are things that you have to be earned and worked on. But anyway, and that's why I stay with Melody Cederstrom. I've known this woman now for a lot of years. And Melody has all three qualities, as far as I'm concerned, as far as integrity and honesty and straightforwardness. She has all of those. And she's earned respect. That's why I respect her and stay with her, because I know who she is, what she tries to do. And Melody will talk to you about anything you need to talk about financially. And she will help you do anything you need to do from $10 to $10,000 and more. She'll help you. You know the number, 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Get you in touch with her, and I hope you'll call and talk to her. You probably know this, but some of the caravan is already coming to the wall and crossing the wall. I'm not making it up. The caravan is now coming up to the wall in certain parts of Texas, and they're crossing over the border. I'm trying to find the exact location here, but anyway, at Friendship Park, they arrived in, that's just right, not too far from Tijuana. Okay, I guess it must be in California. But they're crossing the border, and they said there are no military present. Some of them are getting on through. Some are being turned back by the ICE and other places there, and they're the Border Patrol agents, so they're trying to stop them. But they're coming across, folks. I can't understand it. I've never been on the border. Oh, I went through the border. I was in Tijuana down in BioCare Hospital last year. But as far as patrolling the border, between us, Mexico, that's never even been something I even thought about. But it's a long, long, long stretch through a lot of barren country. And if the military is going to be there to stop it, they're going to have to do more than just set up in different entryways in the country. The smugglers and the illegals can cross different places. They don't need to come through checkpoints. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Our President Trump said he's going to put a stop to it if it meant having to put the military out there. The military would defend themselves. We will see. Now that supposedly the Democrats have taken back the House, with Pelosi getting back in power again, I know some people are opposing that, but Maxine Waters, oh, what an idiot. And some of the rest of them going back in the so-called authority. This next 2 years could be something to behold. If you think division and frustration are already here, I think in the next 2 years, folks, you're going to see a division in this country that's going to be, well, it's going to be no way to fix it. Unable to fix it in any way. Because the division is going to be so big, so strong, and the differences are going to be made so evident and exaggerated even to the point it's going to cause irreparable damage. We will see. That's all I can say. But Canada registers, and listen to this. In 2017, Canada registered a six-fold increase in U.S. citizens seeking asylum. A lot of these U.S. citizens were children that were born here, and because of the birth law, they become citizens automatically, which is not constitutional. It is not legal or lawful, I should say, but they're doing it. But a lot of the Triode, Gisling, and Haitians by birth and immigrants are leaving the country that way, and some Americans, the American citizens, period, are trying to seek asylum in Canada. I just wonder about that. I don't know. Most of them, of course, I said, are born here and they become legal citizens being born here. They're afraid they're going to be deported, so they're not waiting. They're trying to cross into Canada. And hey, Canada is telling the United States we need to let these people in. I mean, really? Well, okay, Canada, open your borders up. Let us send you some of them. Don't you start whining and crying and complaining. You said we should do it. You step up the plate. You take some of them, too. Matter of fact, take at least half of them and tell us how you like it. I know you won't do that, but why not? I mean, if you're gonna talk the talk, then walk the walk. That's as simple as the way I can put it. And something good did happen in Alabama, by the way. Alabama voters overwhelmingly passed amendment to display 10 Commandments. God bless you, Alabama. That is wonderful news. Now, that means that the schools and government buildings don't have to display them, but they can, and nothing can be done to stop it. I'm anxious to see, and some schools are already starting to put them up. Some schools, bless their hearts, are already starting to put those back in the schoolrooms, and I think that is wonderful. I just hope that the local governments there will step up to the plate and say, okay, the ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center, can take it and stick it where the sun don't shine. We're putting them up because we have the right to, we have the duty to, actually, in this state, and states' rights supersede any other federal laws that can be passed by anybody, including the Supreme Court, which can't make law to do anyway. So God bless Alabama for taking a stand, finally, in one state at least now, saying enough is enough. We're going to make a move on our own. I certainly wish that Judge Roy Moore had made it for U.S. Senate, but he didn't. But say Alabama has not given up yet. And, of course, you know about the situation in Florida and Arizona and the votes that's been lost and found and recounted and machines overheating, so they got to stand to stop it again for a while, and on and on and on it goes. Well, federal prosecutors reviewing audit election documents tied to Florida Democrats. The Florida Department of State has last week asked federal prosecutors to investigate dates that were changed on official state election documents. The first voting irregularities has flagged in the wake of the 2018 elections. The concerns, which the department says can be tied to Florida's Democratic Party, center around date changes on forms used to fix a fixed vote by mail ballots sent with incorrect or missing information. Known as cure affidavits, these documents used to fix mail ballots were due no later than 5 p.m. on November 5th, the day before the election. But affidavits released on Tuesday by the DOS show the documents from four different counties said to be ballots could be returned by 5 p.m. on Thursday, which is not accurate. This is totally irregular and actually unlawful in Florida. All votes in Florida, according to the law, must be in no less than 12 hours after the polls close. By the way, if you hear shooting in the background, my neighbor is sighting a deer rifle. Okay, which I'll be doing Friday. Nonetheless, deer season starts here Monday for bucks and does both. And in Georgia, there could be, after the winner Mitch won, the unofficial return show Republican Brian Kemp with 50.3% to win the race in Georgia. Democrat Stacey Abrams, who hopes to become the nation's first black female governor, has mobilized volunteers and staff to reach voters. Anyway, she's going to contest it. So we could have another vote, another situation in Georgia. Now, folks, Arizona, Georgia, Florida can't count the votes right. And we trust that they're doing the right thing when we put that piece of paper in that damnable machine, and we think that they're accurate and they're going to count right no matter what. Do we really believe they can't be rigged? Are we that stupid to think that computers can't be fixed to do something other than what we want them to do? Do you really believe that can't be done? I mean, are we naive enough to think that this is for real? And we can trust these people. And I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm independent. I've been for years. But the Democrats, a lot of them are, and I'm going to say flat up and down, they're scum. They're idiots. I'm not, and Republicans also. But right now we're seeing the scum rise to the top in the Democratic Party. I mean, pure, unadulterated idiots. Unadulterated idiots are coming up. And they're coming out like, I don't know, like scum from Obama's cesspool or something. And they're causing problems that are absolutely unheard of, and legal or no makes no difference now. They're doing what they want when they want. That is happening right now in the good old U.S. of A. Makes you want to vote, doesn't it? Makes you want to go up and sing the God Bless America, does it not? The land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, how sad. Now, maybe you understand why I don't trust the future of this country and my grandchildren's future in the hands of the people that are so-called leaders and lawmakers. It's exactly why I've tried to preserve what I have earned in my life for my children and grandchildren. That's why I put my place into a trust some years ago, to try to protect it the best I can. Don't have much, but I want to pass it on to my sons and their children. And back to a different topic. Disney pass holder displays pro-Trump signs at park and gets banned again. A man who was banned from Disney World several weeks ago for unfurling a giant Donald Trump banner in the Magic Kingdom has been banned again. He said after Disney officials took away his annual pass in September, they had a change of heart and let him back in. The picture of Don Cheney's latest antics last week showed him riding down Splash Mountain with a Trump 2020 sign. And on Expedition Everest, he held a Keep America Great sign. He was kicked out again, this time, I guess, for the duration. Now, I have to ask this question. I mean this. I wish somebody else would do this. Would somebody put in a pro-Hillary sign or something and see how it turns out? Just curious. I mean, really. Would they get banned? I'd like to know. Wouldn't y'all like to know that, too? Obviously, pro-Trump, and I'm not pro-Trump, but pro-Trump sign's not allowed. Would a pro-Hillary sign be allowed? I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good question, a fair question. I really do. I wish somebody would think to do that and just see what happens. I mean, really, it's something to think about. Is it all be one-sided? Or are they going to be fair and keep all this out? I wish somebody that's next to Disneyland would go out and try this and see what happens. I really, really do. These next articles have nothing to do right now, I guess, with really fantastic news events, but I want to share them because sometimes a little bit on the lighter side makes a difference, does it not? And this next one is from me and Todd. Now, Todd, of course, and Todd and I are already so good looking, we don't need this news, but I just decided to share it anyway. A study shows that men with beards are more attractive to women. A new study shows men who have full beards are more attractive than men who are clean-shaven. The study was published in the Journal of Evolutionary Biology. Research asked more than 8,500 women to rate men on their attractiveness as a long-term romantic partner. Here's how the facial hair rated. Heavy stubble, 10 days, number one. Don't shave 10 days, men. You get prettier in the eyes of women. Full beards, number two. Light stubble, number three. And four was clean shaven. So, I need all the help I can get. Maybe I'll go ahead and not shave for next week or so, week and a half, and see what happens. I mean, I know this is ridiculous. I realize it is, but I wanted to share it just for a laugh because I guess the reason from the study of this, I would suppose there is. I don't know. Just kind of curious, but I know just saying that, Todd, there, don't worry about it. But, I mean, you know, a guy like me has to worry about these things, so I was thinking about just something beer grill a little bit. Let's see if it works or not. Another issue I think kind of interesting, sad but true. A virgin bride sold to the highest bidder on Facebook for 500 cows, 3 cars, and 7,500 pounds in barbaric slave market. Now, I'm not making this up. A Sikh family sold their 7-year-old daughter, a virgin bride, on Facebook to the highest bidder, and the teen was married to a businessman, Cole Alot, on the November 9th after bidding war ensued in South Sudan on the social media platform between 5 men, including high-ranking government officials. A 17-year-old virgin bride at her wedding after being was showed a picture of her being was bid off to the highest bidder. One of the bidders was David Mayam Rick, the deputy governor of Eastern Lake Shores, and he had offered to him 50 cows as a dowry. Anyway, this poor young lady was swapped off for 3 V8 cars, 7,500 pounds, and 500 cows to the businessman by the name of Cock Alot. K-O-K-L-A-T. I mean, I'm not making it up. This is for real. It should be totally illegal, but it is what it is. And so I'm just saying, things can be different even here. At least we're not going down the road quite that way yet. But I do know in Venezuela from people who've been in that country that some of the people there are actually, how do you put it, renting their children on the streets to make money to pay bills. I mean, that is really a sad scenario. And of course, we think it can never happen here. And folks, it has happened here. As it has happened here in the past. During the Great Depression, some mothers actually sold their children. That was illegal back then too. But these are things that are happening around the country for a lot of different reasons. And some of them because the economics are going bust. Call Melody, 800-375-4188. Talk to her. So what should I say to you? By the grace of God, I'll see you tomorrow afternoon with Melody at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Y'all have a great evening.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.